I've been practicing on my hairbrush this week. I'm holding a microphone. Mark's been teasing me. On Friday, I literally walked up and down our house with my hairbrush. So let me know if you guys can hear me. And actually, I was kind of laughing. I remember that this morning, and I just thought, oh, I feel like that's actually a word for some people here, that God's saying it's time to start practicing on your hairbrushes. It's not necessarily about speaking, although it might be, but it's just that sense that God actually has more for us than we could ever hope or imagine, and we're not allowed to think too small. So I'm just going to organise myself here a little bit, and if anybody feels like they're too far away, just take this time to like come on up, because I'm a connector and I'm kind of pretending that this is my kitchen and you're all there. So, and if anybody, I'm sure most of you won't be able to read that little sign that I put there, but it just says, "Beauty is in the ordinary." That is a true story. Tuck that in there. Man, it's such a treat to be here this morning. Coming up here feels like, it's just like coming home. I remember the days over 20 years ago now when Vineyard was, to me, I was like maybe not even 20, an underground Friday night prayer meeting. And I loved that there was just a sense in the atmosphere that anything could happen because God was going to be in the room. And I remember spending maybe a year or at least 6 months in the back row bouncing up and down. Like, I don't know what was going on in the bouncing season, Marty, Chrissy, but I was bouncing. It's a treat to be here. For those of you who don't know me, I live in Newtown, which is very convenient because I get to be me. I think if I lived in Tawa, I'd be the village crazy lady, but I get away with a lot of stuff in Newtown, which is very, very, very wonderful. And our family are part of a wonderful little church called St. Tom's, and I have a photo somewhere of Mark and I, just for anyone who doesn't know, my beloved husband. There we are now. Obviously, you can tell that he's an Anglican priest. And this is just a random little selfie that we took at the beginning of the year when we were at a hippie New Age festival called Luminate in the hills of Takaka. That was really fun, and we got our faces painted. And we, just a little story about that, a very dear friend of ours called Chuck Perry came to the festival as well, and I met Chuck in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado about 10 years ago, and he's now, speaking of practicing into hairbrushes, he's now directing the healing rooms at Bethel in Reading. So he's just this wonderful man, and we were so happy to hang out with him. He brought 4 interns over, and on the first day, one of his precious interns came up to me and asked if I was in costume. It was so fun, and I just said, "I'm a real live hippie." It was so fun. So that's Mark and I. And then I brought one other photo because I really want you guys to see my little hippie hobbit boys. That is just the best photo I could find on my phone right now. So I have to get close. So this is Micah, and this is Lucas, and they are really, really fun and really, really hard work. Like, wow. And I had this kind of flashback memory of being here at some point where Mark was speaking, and they love to come to Vineyard because you guys have the best toys and also the best treats. There was like that biscuit jar at the back was full of ginger nuts, and they'd come and they'd each had 2 ginger nuts each, and I'd said, "That's enough." They were playing with the toys, and Mark and I were up here at the end of our time together, praying, ministering, and I looked up, and there, out of the corner of my eye, I see Micah, who's normally quite reserved, followed by his younger brother, doing sort of like a slow motion ninja run towards the ginger nuts, knowing full well that we couldn't do anything about it because we were just like up here praying, and so we had this hilarious. We were very stern, and we said, you know, that was absolutely not okay. But later that night, Mark and I sat on the couch, and Mark looked at me and he said, that was kind of awesome. And we just, it was like, wow, if our boys end up like running towards Jesus with the same courage and risk-taking and determination that they ran towards those biscuits, we'll be happy parents. So, yeah, so that's our little family. And for those of you who might be wondering, like, what is this situation? Well, when James first asked me to come and share, I just had this little vision of trying to set up something, well, kind of bringing props, really, that would make me feel like I was in my kitchen, because those who know me well know that I am much more at home chopping veggies and kind of being at home than I am sort of in front of the church. So I thought, I'll bring some things to kind of just make me feel a little bit less nervous. And I have this little sign in my kitchen that says, beauty is in the ordinary. And that is just something that I've come to believe with all of my heart. It's so easy to think sometimes that, you know, following God or getting to know him is something that happens out there, you know, when my life's finally organized, and, you know, there are so many things that still need to happen, but actually the present moment is just exactly where God loves to live. It's where he likes to speak. It's where he likes to teach us about his kingdom, and anything good that I have to share with you today comes from him. And I think over the past decade, most of the treasures that I've learnt have been while I was chopping veggies or changing nappies, not at the same time. But yeah, it's absolutely where he is. And I just thought that it would be really fun today if, actually, let me just go back a little bit. As I was thinking about the kitchen and praying, I felt like I heard God say, Kirsty, you know, I want you to invite everybody to come into my kitchen. Just invite my kids to come into my kitchen. And in my mind, the best way to do that is to ask you guys, just for a moment, indulge the village crazy lady, just to imagine that you're all 5 years old and you're coming home from school on a really, really, after a long day. And maybe, just maybe, you'll hear the words of God to you this morning through an ordinary mum on an ordinary afternoon. Okay. And I'll be overly dramatic. I mean, I am most of the time anyway, but I'll be like extra overly dramatic. Oh, welcome home. I am so happy to see you guys. Come on. How was your day? Oh, man, that is a big backpack. That backpack is almost as big as you are. Come on, let's take it off. Come on. Oh, boy. That must have been heavy to carry around all day. And I noticed that you're still wearing your raincoat, even though the sun came out at morning tea time. You look hot and sticky. Do you want to just take that off and, you know, you can be a little bit more at home? I think that'd be so good. Okay, so what have we got going on in here? A completely full drink bottle. I wonder if this is why you were so grumpy on the way home. Yeah, I bet it was. I know it's so hard. Sometimes when we're playing and when we're working so hard, we just forget to take a drink. Oh, that's so good. And let's see what's in your lunchbox. You must be hungry. Let's find a snack. Okay, let's see what we've got going on in here. Oh, man. What is it that happens with bananas during the day? Like, they start the day with so much promise, and at the end of the day, it's like, you know, they need deliverance. Terrible. Compost that. So let's get you something yummy and fresh to eat, okay? And what is this that you've made?
I made a rocket.
You made a rocket?
Yeah,
this
it's
is
even got fire coming out the bottom.
Oh, it's so cool. You made a rocket. I love this. We have to put this somewhere so special. You know, I reckon that anyone else would have looked at this and just seen rubbish. They would have seen toilet rolls, but you saw a rocket. I love that about you. That is so fun. And if that was a little, village crazy lady, I'd now like to read some words of life from Matthew. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Well, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me, and and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. You know, when we come into God's kitchen, we learn that he's always so happy to see us. He's not on his phone. He's not distracted. He sees who we are and he loves who we are. And there are good things in God's kitchen. He wants us to taste and see. You know, he wants us to experience. He doesn't want us to just believe or try harder to believe. And I believe that in God's kitchen, he also has a story for us. Because God is the best storyteller, and it's an adventure story. And in our house, I reckon I could just about be a professional storyteller. I've never, ever heard my boys say, "Enough stories, Mum, do not read me another book." It's just they're insatiable, and one of our absolute favourites is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And just in case anyone has never read that beautiful story, it's, how do you even begin? Some children enter through a quite ordinary wardrobe door, an enchanted world called Narnia. And in Narnia, there's something that is really very terrible because it's always winter but never ever Christmas. And the reason why it's always winter and never Christmas is because it's under the spell of the White Witch, who desperately needs to be reparented by God. But she likes to, you know, she just freezes people and it's cold and everyone's scared. But the most wonderful thing happens, they discover that there is somebody called Aslan, who of course is Jesus in the story. And Aslan is on the move. I think I heard you say that, James. And there's an ancient prophecy that says, when Aslan bares his teeth, winter meets its death. When Aslan shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. And it's just us, you know, in our household, it's just one of our things. Aslan's on the move. Like when we kind of see something or sense something that we know God's working, we'll say Aslan's on the move. And he is very, very much on the move. He's on the move here at CV. He was on the move down in the hills of Takaka at this, hey Danny, it was amazing, this beautiful, beautiful festival where there were just a lot of kind of seeking people just learning how to love and joining together. And we had, it was such a privilege to get to go there and be Jesus people in that space. There was a lovely, lovely guy I met on the trail one day, and we sort of got talking, and he said, don't you have a problem being here, you know, as a Christian? And I said, oh, I just think there's so much here that Jesus loves. There's so much here that he celebrates. And he said to me, I believe in Jesus. And he said, actually, I've been into absolutely everything. In times when I'm really, really stuck, and I cry out to every deity that I know, he said, Jesus is actually the only one that's ever turned up. And I said, that's him. That's him. He's so amazing. And we met lots of people who'd had dreams or were kind of curious. And it was just a joy to be able to be there and kind of, you know, put a little bit more language, pray with people. So super fun. And while I was there, this is sort of, I remember sitting in our campsite one day, and I stumbled across a verse in Hosea that I've never seen before, Hosea 11, and this is really cool. Hosea 11:10. They shall go after the Lord, and he will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return them to their homes, declares the Lord. Doesn't that sound a little bit like coming into God's kingdom? I just loved, I could hear him roaring. I could hear him roaring for the freedom of his children. And he's today, he's roaring over our lives. He's roaring because there's so much more. And we got home from Luminate, and now that I'm kind of hanging with the Anglican tribe at the moment, we have this awesome thing called Lent, which is the 40 days up until Easter, and I just thought, I sort of felt this real pull, this invitation to really kind of step into the season a little bit more intentionally. And so for 40 days, I just decided, as much as I was able, I just completely cleared my schedule, at least during school hours. And I prayed and I fasted, and we have this thing called the lectionary, which I just confessed to our bishop that actually I only started reading during Lent, but it's absolutely incredible. And it wasn't even so much that it was a lectionary, it was just that I was pausing morning, midday and night to just open God's word, and it was like a feast. I was just being fed, and I was so shocked it was just such a precious time. And on one day, I was there at midday, and I was camped out in Psalm 40. So beautiful. I waited patiently for the Lord. Some of you are hearing the U2 song right now. I am. Lifted me up from the miry clay, put a new song in my mouth. I will sing a new song. And I was like, my spirit was just like, yes, that's what's happening. It's time for a new song. And then I was listening to, I just sort of had music on, and the song that was on, literally as I saw a new song, these lyrics were like playing around our lounge. He's singing a new song. He's doing a new thing. I can hear the rhythm of the tribe of Judah. And I was like, ooh, I just feel like I have to go and read the part where Aslan roars. So I kind of ran down the hallway, grabbed our Chronicles of Narnia, I knew that Aslan roared, but I kind of felt I actually need to sort of read that specific part. And again, if you're not super familiar with the story, Aslan, there's all these adventures, but at one point Aslan is killed by the White Witch. He lays down his life so that one of the children can go free. But there was a deeper magic at work, and he rises from the dead, and he reveals himself to these two girls, Lucy and Susan, and he says this to them, so fun. Whoops, that's not the page. I wrote it in my journal. I do a lot of writing. Rantings of a mad woman. Here we are. And now, said Aslan presently, to business. I feel like I'm going to roar. You had better put your fingers in your ears. And they did. And Aslan stood up, and when he opened his mouth to roar, his face became so terrible that they did not dare to look at it. And they saw all the trees in front of him bend before the blast of his roaring, as grass bends in a meadow before the wind. And then he said, we have a long journey to go on. You must ride on me. And he crouched down, and the children climbed onto his warm golden back. And Susan sat first, holding tightly onto his mane. And Lucy sat behind, holding tightly onto Susan. And then with a great heave, he rose underneath them. And then he shot off faster than any horse could go, downhill and into the thick of the forest. And that ride was perhaps the most wonderful thing that happened to them in all of Narnia. Isn't that fun? I just sat there and I wept, and I just thought, that is our God. And Mark said to me, Kirsty, you should tell them some stories about riding on Aslan's back, because that is an invitation for all of us. Another little saying we have is, stay in the main, which kind of speaks of just that place of intimacy with God. He wants us, you know, burrowed in. I was going to do this in the beginning. I totally forgot, but it's come back to me now. I want to just pause and recognize that this place, I'm actually going to take my shoes off because I feel like I just want to like symbolize that this is holy ground. I feel like Jesus said, wear your ballet shoes to church this morning, Kirsty, because I want you to dance. And so I did that. But I'm just taking my shoes off now, and I'm here with bare feet because I want to honor and I want to recognize that this is a place that's kept the main thing the main thing. When I checked the website to see what time you started, the first thing I saw was we're all about Jesus. That's what, and I just thought, oh, like that is so refreshing. And this is a place where over the years the presence of God has been treasured above else. And that will not be taken away from you, Capital Vineyard. That is just, for me, that's the best thing in the world. And so, I love you guys. That's a beautiful thing. So fun. I've got no idea what I was saying. That was a moment. Staying in the main. Aslan's back. How are we going for time? Do I have time for a couple of stories? Or are you sure? Okay. And I just want to say also, like, sometimes stories feel a little bit tricky for me because, you know, we see a lot of staff and we meet a lot of amazing people, and there's a lot of stuff that I don't share because it feels really sacred. It feels like it's a holy thing to actually see God meeting people and people seeking God, and so I hold that, and there's a lot that I don't say, but sometimes the stories show how amazing God is. And the story that popped into my mind when Mark said you should tell a story is actually something that happened on Mother's Day. So I thought, okay, God, I'll share that one. Hear my heart, like the stuff that when we're riding on Aslan's back, that's just something we do as kids. I live my life. Most days I literally feel like I'm just holding on, like it's the ride of my life. And everything we do just as kids, just as a son or a daughter. You know, I think there is a culture out there that stories can sometimes be like a notch on a belt, in terms of sort of, you know, your ministry, and that's just so not God's heart, and I really don't want it to be my heart either. And I heard someone say recently, you know, ministry ambition just needs to be crushed, under our feet. I think of Jesus in the wilderness when Satan turned up and said, if you really are the Son of God, you know, jump down, jump down from the temple. And it's kind of like he was saying, you know, and Mark spoke about this recently, you know, jump off like Spider-Man and kind of land, you know, that would be so cool. You know, that would be so powerful. Everyone would know you're the Son of God. But instead he just came like a tiny baby, you know, and that's our God. And so just, you know, my stories are like just a tiny baby, like sometimes being carried screaming on the hip of God, just learning what it is to love. I'm in Vineyard, right? So the story that I'm thinking about was the first time that I saw God actually physically heal someone. But this is just, you know, this is what you guys do. This is your DNA. But it took me a lot longer. I was like, you know, it took me a while to actually figure out that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is actually alive and available in me. And he wanted to get out. Like, he wanted to get out some more and have some fun. So one day I just remember saying, okay, Jesus, from now on, every time I meet someone who's sick or has pain in their body or something, I'm just going to offer to pray for them because you might just show up and do something. And so pretty much as soon as I'd said that, I was just walking down the street of Newtown to pick up my boys, and a mum who I didn't know super well came out of the alleyway where she lived, and we started to walk together. And actually, now this is on the way to school, and she told me that she had a sore ear, and my heart just kind of like sunk. I was like, oh, because you know I'm gonna have to offer to pray for her, and we got to school and I was sort of thinking, how can I like sort of casually slow this into conversation? She, as far as I knew, wasn't a believer, and so my heart is like thumping so fast. We're outside the classroom, and I just said, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I can't even remember what I said, something like, God's alive and I think he can heal, and could I pray for your ear? Like, so awkward. And she was like, that is weird. And she goes, but okay. And so we had this like super awkward moment. I stood there, I kind of put my hand on her, prayed probably like the most pathetic prayer, and said, do you feel any change? And she's like, no. And it was just, I kind of walked home like just, you know, sort of dejected. Oh man, God is so good. He hears every prayer. He hears every prayer. He loves those tragedies. He just loves them. I think he thought I was really brave. I think he just was like, yay, Kirsty, that's so cool. And I was like, I'll leave the healing up to you, but what I'm concerned about, Lord, is that I weirded her out. Like, you know, like, what if she thinks Christians are really weird now and she's going to, like, be turned off you? And then, you know, the ear wasn't healed, but later that afternoon I got a text from her and she said, hey, like, do you want to walk down to school together this afternoon and pick the boys up? And it was just this moment for me where I was like, oh, I didn't weird her out. She was like leaning in closer, and that beautiful woman is such a good friend of mine now. I've said to her, you're the best Christian in Newtown. Like, I think she secretly believes, but she is like, she's such a good woman. She's always doing the stuff of the kingdom, and I tell her, like, you know, your days are numbered, honey. So there was that sort of, that was my first thing. And then round about the same time, we met these two wonderful women who, oh my goodness, you guys are going to know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to say any names, but these are total characters. Who sit hustling outside New World. And if I was in charge of the world, I've said to them, like, I would have given them a desk so they could have been like the welcomers of Newtown. Like, everyone who walks past, they would smile and welcome them in. I just, you know, their joy sitting there, you know, on the concrete outside of Newtown, flying a sign for, you know, for their drug money was just, I mean, it was amazing. They're so fun. Got to know these guys. And one day I was at home praying, and I just, you know, I in my mind, I kind of saw them, and I felt like Jesus just said, Kirsty, my beautiful daughters need more, you know, they need more than just food and drink. I want to like lavish them with my beauty. And I had this little idea, because way back in the day, I love fancy teacups, and I would sort of throw these tea parties. And I thought, oh, and I kind of saw me going down there with some teacups and actually having a tea party with them on the street. I was like, that is such a cool idea, Jesus. Because one of the things I've been learning how to do is just, and it's you guys will already know this, but it was kind of a massive revelation for me, and it's changed the way that I live. Jesus only ever did what he saw the Father doing. He only ever spoke what he heard the Father saying, and that is where the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Because when it's us, like, I walk down the streets of Newtown and I see a million needs and a million problems and a million things that I could do, but actually, what is it? What is it that Jesus is doing? And he's given each of us different eyes, so we're going to notice what we notice. So I was noticing, like, that it could be really fun to take a tea party to the streets. It was just a little thought. But the next day, I was walking past, and one of my friends was there, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, I went into Newtown, and I saw, New World, and there was a pot plant with some daffodils. And it was just like God said, buy that pot plant. Like, I know they're living on the street, but I want that part of the street to be really beautiful. And so I just, yeah, and there's different times when we'll buy people something to eat or we'll buy them a drink, but on that day, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, beauty, like, beauty is their greatest need. And so it was just the funnest thing in the world. I just kind of, like, bought the pot plant and put it down and just said, God loves you so much, you know, and everywhere you are should be beautiful, and daffodils are like a sign of new life, and Aslan's on the move, and spring's coming, and, you know, just me. Yeah, just crazy lady. And yeah, it was just this beautiful moment. And then I actually walked home weeping, because I was like, God, you're so extravagant. Like, I can't believe the things you come up with. Like, you are so fun. You are way better than I knew. You are so much better than I knew. You know, wow, like, you're so fun. And then I was still thinking about that tea party idea. And one day, very soon after, we'd taken Micah to school, and Lukey, my little toddler, and I were coming home, and there were my two friends almost outside our gate, but we had kind of like a little awning. We lived next to a shop. They were sitting there with another couple of guys. I think they were about to roll a joint, and I thought, now is the time for the tea party. And I remember being tired, and I had a bit of a headache, but I was like, this is too good. They're right there. So I kind of rushed in, and I grabbed a tray and some teacups, and it was like purple roses from the garden, snip, snip, put them in a vase. And then I had a moment of panic, because I was like, my mind kicked in. Addicts like instant coffee and sugar, like, you know, they really do, and we've learnt that, and we now have lots of sugar and instant coffee in our home. But on that particular day, being a hippie, I only had peppermint tea. And I was like, oh no, peppermint tea. Like, I don't think they're going to like peppermint tea. And then I just thought, do what you can, not what you can't. Bring it with love. I felt compelled to grab a Jesus storybook Bible, put it on the tray. And Lukey and I just kind of wandered out the gate and just announced a tea party, pop-up tea party. And we sat down. And it was so fun. It was this little moment. As we arrived, one of them was like, quick, quick, you know, put out the, you know, whatever it was, like, there's a child present. There were actually a couple of them. It was so cool, but they kind of, you know, stopped their sesh, and we sat down, and, you know, I didn't bang them over the head with a Bible, but we ended up reading Jesus' storybook, kids' Bible stories, because one of them looked at me and he just started like reciting Bible verses that he remembered as a kid before I'd even said anything about Jesus. It was just being in that place. And then a day later, I bumped into one of the women, and she said to me, we've been talking about that tea, Kirsty. What kind of tea is it? It was so yummy. We couldn't get enough. We couldn't get enough. So that day, I actually got to go into New World and buy a box of peppermint tea, because by this point, I'd figured out that they actually, you know, they weren't homeless, they actually live in the council flats. And I know this because one of them said, I'm taking care of that pot plant. I'm taking care of it. I'm watering it every day. Which is so amazing, because she's not taking care of herself, you know. But it was just, yeah, how fun is that? Here's the story I was getting to. Whoops. Mother's Day about a week later. And these two beautiful women wander into our church at the end of our service. And we must have been a bit more traditional then, because I remember there was some sort of standing up and sitting down. And I could tell that one of them was struggling because she had a sore ankle. And so I just said to her, you know, would you feel okay about me praying for your ankle? And she said, yeah, that'd be fine. So I just kind of knelt down and laid my hand on her ankle and just asked Jesus to heal it. And then I said, any improvement? And she goes, not really, maybe a tiny bit. And I said, can I pray again? And she said, okay. So I prayed again, and I remember saying, Jesus, I ask for a full healing in your name. And I don't want to scream too loudly, but she went, ah, he's real! And I looked at her and I was like, I know. And then she was like, she healed me. Like, it was really embarrassing. I was like, no, it wasn't me at all. It was Jesus, everybody. Like, it was this moment. And she goes, a heat shot up my leg and went straight into my heart. It was so fun. It was like, for me, it was the best Mother's Day present in the world. We stayed on after church. We prayed. At one point, you know, just a whole bunch of other people met us and just sort of gathered in, and I told her at the end of the day, I said, you go out, and when you bump into people on the street who are in pain, you lay your hands on them and you ask Jesus to heal them, because you're a healer too. Like, he loves to flow through us. We had a Bible study that Tuesday night, and she came in and she said, I've been telling everyone I meet about the heat that went up my leg and into my heart. And I was like, that is so fun. Like, that's, you know, I don't think Jesus is insecure. Like, I don't think, I mean, I'm all about saying the name of Jesus, but I think he's like, that was me. Like, you know, like, you talk to a lot of people, they say, there's a vibration. I'm like, there is a vibration. I think Jesus has many names. Jesus is my favorite. But, yeah, he's so much better. He's so much better than we know. And just in case I've really weirded anyone out, I'm going to come back to the Word, this beautiful, beautiful book. And I want to just leave this invitation with us, and then I'd love to pray. So don't you see, this is Romans 8, don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we're going to get exactly what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. Isn't that beautiful? Just actually when I read, "We know who we are, Father and children," this is the second Ninja Ray moment of the day. Because as we were walking here, this is just an example of someone who knows who he is. As we're coming up the stairs, I just said, "Raymond, I'm so glad you're here." And he said, "Yeah, I know. You're going to shine brighter with me here." How cool is that? I was like, this guy knows who he is. So fun. I'm sure I had a fancy ending, but I've lost it. So I'm going to just pray. Is that okay? It's still there? Do we have time for me to pray? I'd absolutely love to do that. I'm going to just like get into my happy place and just, you know, come on in, guys, come on into the kitchen. Let's just talk to our good Father. Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. Wow, you are just the best. You are the perfect parent. And I'm so glad that you just continually say, "Come, Lord, you invite us in. You invite us in." And when we come in, we discover that you're so much better than we knew. We just need you to do what only you can do. Lord, there are some of us here who've been buzzing around on our electric wheelchairs and we've kind of blinged them. We've sort of stuck a bit of bunting on the back and we've thought, this is awesome. I can move faster than I could. You're saying, "Hey, I want to." You're not even saying, "I want you to walk." You're saying, "I want you to fly. I want you to fly." So you guys already know how to fly. It's just a matter of remembering that. And just saying, "Oh, I forgot, that's right, I can fly." So Lord, I pray this morning that you'd give new wings. I pray that you'd give new wings. And Lord, for those who have brought in really, really heavy backpacks, the kind of backpacks you see on five-year-olds that are like almost bigger than they are, Lord, I know that you want to help take those backpacks off this morning. Oh, Lord, thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And, Lord, some of us are hot and sticky. We're still wearing raincoats, Lord, even though it's actually been sunny for a long time. Lord, when you're on the move, you bring spring. The snow starts to thaw. And I just want to speak hope. I want to speak hope into the hearts of those who you're wanting to invite into this next season. Lord, would you clothe us with what we need to go forward with our eyes on you, daring to believe, Lord, that you're better, that we would trust more in your goodness than we do in our own weakness. Lord, there's some of us that are Lord, we're really grumpy because it's been a long time since we've had a long, cold drink from your Spirit. I pray you'd refresh us today. Jesus, I pray you'd pour out your Spirit. You'd teach us how to stay hydrated in you regularly, Lord. Jesus, for those of us who are living our lives like we're orphans, maybe on one level we say, yeah, I believe in God. I'm a child of God, but when you look at our lives, Lord, we're just doing it completely on our own strength. We're acting like it's all up to us. Lord, would you teach us how to? I just see a picture now of have you ever seen kids who they're walking on their parents' feet and their parents are holding them and they're on their parents' feet and you kind of do that walk? I feel like God's inviting some of you to get on his feet, hold his hands and just walk with him. Like, that's so fun. Who doesn't want to do that? Lord, I thank you for those who are here who still believe that rockets can be made out of rubbish. Lord, nothing is impossible for you. And I just pray for dreams, Lord, that might be on the hearts of people here that have got dusty. They've just been put aside and other people have seen them as rubbish. But Lord, you see them as so precious and you're inviting your children to dream again this morning. Yeah, show us what's on your heart. Let us dream with you. Thank you that you made everybody here to be a water walker, to walk on the water. Lord, you're inviting people out of the boat today, and the only way we can do that is by stepping out and doing something that we can't do without you. Lord, Peter didn't normally just step out of a boat. He knew he would sink, but because you said come, he did it. So Lord, I know that there are things that people are being invited to do today that feel impossible. But Lord, if it's you saying come, we want to get out of that boat. And Lord, we want to hear your roar. We want to hear you roaring over us. We don't want to be asleep. We don't want to be distracted when you're saying, hop on my back, it's time to go for a ride. Lord, we don't want to miss the adventure of a lifetime. And we see, Lord, we recognize that it was actually the thief that comes and came to kill and rob and destroy, but you are the one who came to bring life in all of its fullness. And I just with love and humility, just declare the fullness of life over my family here. Oh, Jesus, you're so much better than we know. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah, love you, Lord. Amen.